This is Upstate's HealthLink on air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, the success of medical care depends in large part on positive communication and trust between the patients and their healthcare providers. Well, here with more on an important component of this communication is Maria Lourdes Valles, medical Spanish instructor at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Maria. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Linda.
So I understand that what you're doing here at Upstate is teaching medical students Spanish.
Yes.
Tell us about
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And this program started actually in 2006. It is an elective. The students earn 2 credits. And they take it because they really appreciate the opportunity to be able to develop the trust between patient and provider.
Yeah.
You have no idea how important it is for a Spanish-speaking patient at least to hear the doctor greet them in Spanish, ask them how they are feeling, and just the basic questions that you will have in an interview with the patient.
Yeah, it seems to me that so often, especially if someone comes from another country, mm-hmm. any country that speaks any dialect of Spanish, mm-hmm. they come with a certain amount of cultural trepidation, I mean fear, of the fact that they're in a new environment, they don't exactly know how the system works, they're going to be greeted by someone who's asking them somewhat personal questions. And if it's in their own language, I can only imagine that it cuts through a tremendous amount of barriers.
It is. It is a very, very difficult situation to be in. And as you know, you travel extensively, and we always fear to have an accident in a country where we cannot, excuse me, when we cannot speak the language. And most of the people that seek medical care, they do know some Spanish, but they are not proficient in English. And that is why they need the services of an interpreter, or the best thing is from a doctor that can really approach them, greet them, and do the basic evaluation in their own language.
So were you involved in this program from the very beginning, from its inception?
Oh, yes, actually.
We started
a program thanks to 3 very determined students that they are practicing medicine now, and the support of Dr. Susan Stearns and George Blakesley. And interesting enough, this program was adopted or sponsored by the Department of Psychiatry.
Mm.
I have to tell you honestly, I have no idea how it works in the university like that. A new program has to be sponsored by a department. And at that time, apparently, the only one that was willing to do it was the Department of Psychiatry.
Well, it's wonderful that they did that because, in fact, Department of you can see why psychiatry, looking out for the psychological well-being of patients, would understand the importance.
Absolutely. And I think that was exactly what happened. The dean of the Department of Psychiatry at the time, he fully understood the impact of this valuable program by helping the patients not only in the physical but the emotional aspect of their situation.
Besides your knowledge of Spanish, which clearly you're a Spanish, it's your mother tongue,
Absolutely,
Spanish.
Yes.
What else do you bring to this task? How can you approach this whole field of medical Spanish, for example?
Well, I always, even from high school, that's a long, long time ago, I always took anatomy courses, physiology. Then in college, if I have to take an elective, I also took anything related with medicine.
Why
is
that?
I have had a passion. Because my grandfather was a doctor. And you can imagine in Ecuador at that time, he lived.
So you came from Ecuador?
Yes. I was born and raised in Quito, Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fortunate to come to the United States with a fabulous job representing the country of Ecuador to the United Nations.
Wow.
I was a very young diplomat, and because I know English with accent at all, and all, I was transferred to the permanent mission of Ecuador to the United Nations.
Wow. And when was that?
That was in the early 60s.
Wow.
Yes.
Have you been here ever since?
Absolutely. I have spent my whole adult life in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And how did you learn English? Because you would have an understanding now teaching these English students,
yes.
English-speaking students, Spanish. You went through the process yourself. How did
Absolutely.
You learn English?
It's very interesting, but in Ecuador, the government actually it's compulsory that in high school you learn English. My husband, when we went to visit Ecuador the very first time, that is about 42 years ago, he was so surprised that if you ask a policeman for directions, he will give you in English. Many people in the stores, they will greet you if they realize that he didn't speak Spanish, so they will greet him in English. It is amazing how many people really know basic English, at least.
So that's what's very interesting to me, though, is that we can do that in our schools, too, but somehow the kids don't necessarily come out with a fluency. But it sounds like you had some great success with that.
The problem, in my opinion, is that we have to start earlier. In my case, for instance, I started in kindergarten learning French. I learned French and Spanish parallel. If I learned the colors in Spanish, I learned the colors in French. So I had 6 years of French. And then I had to transition to English in the high school.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm here with Maria Lourdes Balas, and we're talking about the importance of new doctors learning medical Spanish and her role, really, as an instructor in that goal. So early is clearly important, but in this case, these are medical students. They're much further along in their lives. What do you find in terms of their ability to pick up the Spanish, and is it harder for some, I would think, than others? Tell us about that.
It is very interesting, and I wish when I learn English, they would have taught me actually specific sounds of certain letters that they are still, after all these years, they are hard for me. And especially the double E and things like that, I have to be very, very careful pronouncing the sounds. Otherwise, it comes out very funny. And the students actually learn the proper pronunciation of every letter of the alphabet.
You do that with them?
I do that with my medical students. They start in their first semester of the first year, MS1, with a basic Spanish. That is a very, very strong foundation course. And they learn, as I said, from the alphabet on, and they learn the parts of the body in Spanish, the organs, the systems, and they move on to make short dialogues and basic questions.
So your focus remains, even though you say you have a foundation in Spanish, the focus still remains on a communication of the doctor to the patient.
Absolutely.
So it's around the anatomy, it's around medical issues, what their needs might be, that kind of
thing. Exactly, exactly. And the doctors really that is the patients, because they ask them just from the beginning, how are you feeling today? I have always mentioned to the students that if you say, how are you? They will say, fine, okay, good, whatever. But if you ask a patient, how are you feeling today? It opens up to a dialogue.
That's very, very interesting.
Yes.
Also very interesting that a lot of people that these young medical students later to be doctors would come across could come from a number of different cultures, even with Spanish as the mother tongue. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you said, you came from Ecuador. There are people coming from Spain. There are people coming from Puerto Rico, from Mexico, from mm-hmm. all over in this country. How do you, or do you attempt to introduce them to any cultural differences or even a general Hispanic cultural difference?
Yes, I do. I usually teach them like the standard word that even if a person from a different country will understand, but they may not choose as the first word when they express themselves. Just a typical example, for the word stomach, I give them 5 different names. Depends not only in the country, but mainly in your level of education. And I always keep in mind that my students help in the summer clinics for migrant workers. So I keep that in mind so they will learn specific words for pain from Mexico or Guatemala, where most of the agricultural workers in this area are.
You know, I have a son. I'm very interested in this very, very personally because I have a son who's a pediatrician currently training in Boston, and he is very interested in improving in his Spanish and is planning to go to your home country, to Ecuador, this spring to actually be in a medical immersion program, medical Spanish immersion program for that purpose alone. So clearly it's becoming very, very important, I think, for healthcare providers these days in our country to be able to converse and gain the trust of people whose mother tongue is Spanish.
Absolutely. And what I have noticed with my students from the very beginning, they have very, very little appreciation for the culture. They had very little knowledge of the difference between Central America, Mexico, that's in North America, and South America. But they understand now that it's not only the way that we pronounce words, there are many other differences. And they learn about, besides the medical Spanish, they do learn a little bit of culture and many other issues.
Yeah, I would think that would play a very significant role. For example, the role of what women play in the matriarchy in a family, or versus how the men are viewed mm-hmm. in these various cultures, and how they would then interact with their patients would be very much informed on the basis of understanding those cultural mores.
It is very, very useful. And I have noticed that a lot of the students that they take the medical Spanish from this program or from me, they go now to learn a little more Spanish in mainly Central America in a 1 or 2 weeks intensive program, and they volunteer at different clinics and hospitals. So they are already practicing what they learn here, and for me that is extremely, extremely rewarding.
How quickly do you see, or how slowly, rather, do you see these students master their skills? Does it take them several years? I mean, what are you seeing in your experience?
It depends. It depends in their personal interest, in their ability. I have a good number of students that after the third semester, they are speaking all in Spanish.
Wow.
And I take them
in
the
basic. You must be a very good teacher.
I don't think so. I really think they appreciate the value. And they do. Like, for instance, in this year, I have 15 students this semester in the intermediate level. And we do everything in Spanish. They learn a specific vocabulary for specific illnesses, the questions, the relevant questions they should ask during an interview. And they feel very empowered because I really believe that knowledge is power.
I do, too.
And I tell people that they may lose a business, they may lose a job, and knowledge is always theirs to keep.
That's true. And being bilingual in this world, multilingual as you are, is an incredible strength. Is this program now just for the medical students, or are you expanding to nurses or other healthcare professionals, or is that part of the thinking?
It is actually open to everybody.
I want to thank you so much for coming in. This has been so informative, and it's wonderful work that you're doing. So
well, thank you.
Congratulate you on this. My guest has been Maria Lourdes-Valles, as she's an adjunct instructor in medical Spanish at Upstate Medical University. Thanks so much for sharing your experiences with us.
It's a pleasure.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.